Join us here at Last Adam Tabernacle as we bring Christ to the nation.
Thank you so much, Pastor. Good morning, Eleti. It's good to see you people here. Amen. Yeah, so I hope that one day my children can come and testify like Alana, because a parent apologizing to a child is a very difficult thing, because in your mind, you're right, you're the parent. I want to thank God, since we're talking about children, for our children's church. We are growing. Hallelujah. Amen. Very soon we shall need more teachers down there. Hallelujah. Yes. Yesterday about 1, we were seated. For me, because I spend time with the children, so I have kid stories. So we were seated at the dining and we were eating. So we were talking to our son about exercising hospitality and kindness to strangers. And then the father says, you know, because the Bible tells us that you never know, you could be entertaining an angel or even God himself. So we're talking to the older child, Kwezi. Then Manzi, the young one who is not here, so I can talk about him and he doesn't feel shy. He said, Mommy, you mean God can pretend? Why, the father gave us an example, like, you see now, since you're going for that convention, is a thing where schools come together and then they do what they call performing arts and many other things, and sports and all those things. So that is what he talked about, preparing for it. He's doing music, spell bee, things like that anyway. You know them. So now we're just preparing him for that, because he's going to be in a new environment. So the father is saying, now you have to be kind. You have to be, you just never know. So the brother is listening and he's like, now, you mean God? You first answer me. You mean God can pretend to be like he doesn't have energy to carry his water? Like, then now, because the example that dad said was, if you find a child who cannot carry maybe their water somewhere, help them to carry it. And to my son, who is 8 years old, he couldn't understand how now that can be the Almighty God who presents himself as a meek, helpless person. So we tried to explain to him. Then he said, no, Mommy, you have not understood me. You haven't understood the question. How many parents have ever been told such a thing? Like, you have not understood what I'm asking. Kwegamba tontege day. So he explains to us again. He's like, you mean God can be up there? Then you mean God is a pretender? I'm like, no, you see. Then I knew that this is not my time to teach Sunday school. So I let the father continue with that. Then along the way, he gets stuck and he's like, Joanne, help me. Because also me, I was quiet. Like, Joanne, help me. So I'm like, but you started this whole thing. So we had to explain how the Almighty God can be in heaven. But then it's like, so he just wants to catch me. That if I don't help him, then he will catch me that I haven't helped. I thought we said no. So later, you know, when you're teaching children, it's very, very difficult. So it's important for us as parents, now that they are back home, know what to tell your children. Give them information that is easily palatable, things that they can chew and understand. Hallelujah. Amen. And one last thing that I just want to share with parents here, since we don't have parenting seminars, is it is okay in the holidays for the children to be bored. It is okay. You know, children can come and tell you, Mommy, I'm bored. Daddy, I'm bored. Even after you have been with them the whole time, they come and say, Mommy, I am bored. Especially the little ones. The older ones like Alana, Kwezi, they don't even want to be in your space, but those little ones, Mommy, I have something to tell you. What is it? I am bored. For me, you know, people think that being a stay-at-home mother, some of these things should come easy for you. But this week, I just think about it, and I'm like, but no, I cannot keep giving my child ideas to make him busy. Let him go and think on his own. So I go, I tell him how, you know, we learn to make dolebiai, akapira. Eh? Why? Because we were bored. And my friend, our mothers and fathers, you wouldn't go to tell them that you're bored. How? How? But also, the fact is, boredom is part of life. Even you, the adults, you get bored. So don't be there with your children, taking them everywhere, trying to keep them entertained. No, leave them. I'm not going to apologize for this one, but leave them, like maybe Lydia, leave them to be bored. It is part of life. So in one of those days when I was being really assailed by my third child, Manzi, Mkwanzi comes to my rescue, and she's like, but do you really expect mommy to be in charge of how to entertain you? So what do you want her to do for you? You want her to entertain you? To dance? What do you want her to do for you? Then I realized that whole speech, I had given it to her some time back. So it was just copy and paste. So she's like, yeah, but what do you expect mommy to do? She also gets bored. So what is she supposed to do? To come and dance for you? Ah, so it's okay. Now we are slowly growing out of that phase of trying to be your child's entertainment. Like, really, guys, eh? I know that we want to be close to our children, but let's not try to overcompensate and kill some of their creativity. You do not know how kids can, like, if you don't think for them, kids can be so creative, you people. After a few tries and pushes and Mkwanzi coming to help me, now we are beginning to see Manzi getting more what? Creative. Find him riding his bicycle, spoiling a few things at home in the process. But it's all good. Glory to God. Glory to God. Amen. So parents, the holiday is here. Yes, spend time with them, but it's also okay for them to be bored. It's part of life. Boredom is part of life. Amen. Yeah, but guide them, because man, if you don't guide that boring time, you'll be very shocked at what they can do. Hallelujah. Amen. So I'm glad to be here once again to share with us the word of God. And I'm glad that Raphael and Matthew and Christine are safe. It could be a different thing this morning in LA. Can you imagine, you know? So as she was testifying, I was like, I imagined what could have happened. The worst, eh? My mind just went and I was like, how would you even like really worship God? But we thank God that he preserves his people. Hallelujah. Amen. So as I was preparing this, what I'm going to share today, I realized that we need to be reminded once again and all the time that we are in the promised land. Hallelujah. Amen. I am the one who was, we are in the promised land, we are in the promise. I'm the one who will be on that front line saying, Banange, we are in the promised land, you people. And we need to be reminded that we are in the promised land. But more than that, today we're going to talk about what you all know, what even our children know, studying the word of God, the place of the word of God in our lives, especially now that we're in the promised land. Why? Because I realized that over the time, people who have studied the word, who have a revelation in the word of God, sustain the spiritual revelations that God gives them a lot better than those who actually do not study the word of God. Amen? And now we're going to talk about studying your Bible, reading pages in the Bible, not hearing from what someone has said, you yourself putting in time in the word of God. So this sermon is so much going to feel like I don't know, like a pediatric sermon. Do you understand what I'm saying? Like a kid's sermon. But we must be reminded. Hallelujah. I remember, I'll start from one of the things that I noticed when God gave us a word about building our house. Yes, the word came by a dream. Start. We have shared those dreams here before. Start. I'll bring the materials I promised you. That was God telling us in the dream. But along the way, challenges came. And now, in as much as I went back to God and I was asking him, God, give me a dream or what, sometimes the dreams never came. And you know what? I had to go take a nosedive into the word and fill myself up. Glory to God. And wage warfare with that word. Glory to God. Not just what he told me, because you see, when God reveals something to you about your future, about what he's going to do, it is exciting. Emotionally, it's very edifying, even in your spirit. But as it is for human beings, as time goes on, that excitement can easily wane. Why? Why will the excitement wane? Because there will be challenges along the way. There will be oppression. There will be attacks from the devil. And you just cannot keep on, like, on that dream. When God told us to build, to start building, we had to remember what we have studied, what we have learned and practiced before about things like giving. We knew when God told us to build, he didn't tell us to stop giving. Glory to God. Amen. So it took us knowing that word and standing on the word and saying, God, we are giving in faith because of what your word says, but also because we have a promise. Glory to God. Amen. So that is why it's very important for us to study the word of God. Especially now, we have said here before that when you're in the promised land, like the Israelites, you find yourself, it's inevitable that you will wage war. It's inevitable. If you haven't yet started, just wait. Monday is coming. And I'm not prophesying. But Monday is coming. If it doesn't come on Monday, wait for Friday. If it doesn't come on Friday, wait for the other Monday. It will come somehow. But what will keep you going in the promised land? What will keep you, what will help you to wage the warfare? The word of God. As we are going to see, even the word of God is part of the armor of God. Jesus himself had to use the word of God to fulfill his destiny. He knew Jesus, who was the word himself. The Bible tells us that when he returns, Pastor has preached here before, Revelations, he has the sword, a flaming sword in his mouth. That is such, that sword, but it's just a dramatic representation of the power of the word of God. It's just dramatic, sword. But actually, it is, he will conquer by the power of his word. Glory to God. Amen. Do you really think, when you read that scripture, that swords are going to come out? So the Bible can be fine. So they're going to come out and you just chui, maybe spitting. I don't know, like, what comes to your mind? My simple understanding is he will conquer by the power of his word. Glory to God. So Joshua 1:8, for us who are in the promised land. It says, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Meditate on the word of God. Study it for you to have what you will call good success. When I read this portion of scripture, I realized that sometimes not all success is good success. Sometimes you miss the devil by just the skin of your teeth, you know? You escape harm. Classic example, Christine Kemand testified today, she escaped harm. But there's also a place where we can walk in divine protection, and even that doesn't actually happen. We thank God for the testimony, but the good success is actually all of those, but also there is a component of you being protected, and that doesn't even come to you. Glory to God. Amen. So sometimes in the word of God, and I'll tell you this for sure, I remember when I had that dream in, it was June, 13th June, 2019. I've never really shared what caused that God to speak to me like that. And let me share it today. So I used to listen to Catherine Kuhlman, Benny Hinn, Anna Rontree, and so many other people, you know, who really love God and have done exploits for him on earth. So, and I would wonder, maybe because I'm a woman, what would be so appealing to me was the fact that they seem to have a deep, like almost everlasting, intangible love for God, the love of I can die for you, yeah? And then I'll look at myself and say, eh, you know, sometimes like when for people who have watched, what's her name? The name has gone. The one who said she didn't have hair on her head, Pastor. Catherine Kuhlman, yes, I've just said her name. You say, I had nothing. No, what even, you know, even the way she used to speak, you would say, Banang, how can a human being love God like this? This lady, if they came and say, Jesus, oh God, Jesus, oh, a bullet, she would take it for Jesus. So I was so touched by that kind of love, and I wanted to know how to get there. Now, during that time also, I started to fast. It is the very first time in my life where I fasted, and I would look at food and be repulsed by food. Why? Because I was like, God, if you do not give me this love for you. I remember fasting 3 days. It was an absolute fast. I didn't want to eat food. You look at food and you just hate it. I didn't have the desire to even break the fast. You understand? After, you know, and now it doesn't happen. Ah, man, when I'm fasting, towards the time for breaking the fast, man, the head is just thinking, food, food, food. By that time, I would, you know, and the way I entered the fast, I didn't know that it was going to be an absolute dry fast. I just started because I was like, no, I need to love God like this. Panoba guy, how do they get there? How does Benny talk about the Holy Spirit? And you just feel, I knew it was more than an emotional love. And when I would watch these YouTube videos, I would tell God, I want that thing. And so, on the third day of me not wanting to break the fast, you look at water and you're like, God, my desire to know God that much was so palpable. So on the third day, that is when I got that dream, where Rick Joyner was in a church. He was praying deep into prayer. And then I'm like, now I had my Bible. I'm like, let me wait for him to finish. So I come and sit on a pew and I wait for him to finish, and he's not finishing, and he is really, really deep into prayer. And I could see, I'm like, now, but I need to ask him that question. But guy Tavayo. So I got off the pew, I come, and he could sense, I think, that I was going to touch him. So I didn't even touch him. As I was just about to touch him, he turns and he tells me, do you want to know how to love God with all of your heart, your strength, your mind, everything within you? I'm like, yes. He's like, you see that Bible? Just do what that Bible says. Hallelujah. And the dream ended. So on the third day, the Lord appeared to me. Maybe I should say that so that I can sound more spiritual. So on the third day, the Lord appeared to me. So anyway, from that time, I was like, but how can I love God? How can I do what this Bible says if I do not know what it actually says? So I knew that God was telling me to read the Bible, not to just read it, but to study it. And from 2019, from the time I got that dream, I have seen myself improving every day by the way I study the Bible. I have seen results in the Bible. I've seen results from studying the Word of God. Hallelujah. Amen. So here, the children of Israel were being told to meditate on the Word of God day and night, that you may observe to do according to what is written in it. God knew very well that the children of Israel were going to be also having wars. They were going to fight. They were going to be busy. Hallelujah. So when you hear and you're busy and you say, man, I have work to do, I have what? Remember, God tells people who are going to be in war that meditate. How does that happen? How do you think that would happen? You're going to be fighting for your lives. But also God is saying, meditate on this word day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written, that you may make your way prosperous and have good success. This is God who was able to fight their battles. Who was, like, you see from this book, from Joshua, that the next time God actually fought that flat without their help. He gave them the success when they went into Jericho. He gave them the success. But now he's telling them, study the word. You know, imagine you are Joshua. You're going into the promised land. And then you have a heavenly experience where you meet Jesus Christ, because the Bible says that he met the commander of the armies of the Lord. So you meet Jesus Christ, and he tells you, he gives you the strategy. Do you know that for anyone who are prophetic, you would be like, man, I had a prophet. The Lord came to me at night. Yabade Yesu ye nini. This is what he told me. But now God goes on to tell them, read the word. After Joshua has heard, do you understand what I'm trying to say? Joshua has this experience where he sees the Lord, where he goes and he does mighty exploits. Let's equate that to your best prophetic experience, be it a dream, be it an apparition, you're walking and the Lord appears. But then you're also instructed to read the word of God. For many of us, the prophetic experience, chibachimala, don't add anything more. You just come here, praise day in, day out. You have a word, you have a word, you have a word. But let me tell you something. That word will not help you to grow. Waliwo wotuka. And even that promise, the great prophetic experience, you had that great dream. There are some waters that dream will not take you through. You must have the knowledge of the written word of God. Hallelujah. That experience must be fortified by the word of God. Hallelujah. So when I got that dream in 2019, I was like, the fact that God didn't say impartation of love, because all those things are there. We are going to impart the love of God. I've heard them before. Not sure why it works. Sometimes it does. But if I could just say, let's impart the love of God in LAT. But the Bible says that those who love me obey my commandments. How can you obey what you haven't read? That means that the impartation will be way to occur. And if you do not have the foundation of the word of God, you will only go 2 miles ahead. Glory to God. Amen. And that is why right now, I think, that is where we Pentecostals in Uganda, all over the world, have been hit the hardest. Not even prophetic experiences, but here in the word of God. Hallelujah. Because children of God do not study the word of God. Everyone wants the quick way out. Mukama chagambi. What, you know, from maybe a prophetic word or a dream. You don't want to put in the hard work. But let me tell you something. It is actually hard work. But it's work that can be done. And you don't read the Bible alone. Glory to God. You have the Holy Spirit. The Bible says the Holy Spirit is our teacher. He is our teacher. He makes these things possible. Glory to God. Tebanza alanga nsoma the word of God. And yet by all standards, I don't even read it the most in this church. Maybe there are people. Maybe Uncle Andy, Uncle Andrew, reads the word of God more than me. Simanyi. But nobody here was born with, you know, you're going to read the word of God. Everyone who you hear, who has read and has had revelations in the word of God, they spend time, both quantity and quality time. Amen? Yes, so let us take the word of God seriously. Let us read, study the word of God for ourselves. The days are evil. This word has been diluted. You know, you listen to someone and they're saying godly things. Let me call them godly things. But as you go on listening, if you have spent time with God, you're able to discern and say, "Na ye, chisa uninga okenenga chila bikanga chitali ukomoyo." Like you should be. There is that empire on the inside of you, yeah. And if you spend enough time in the Word of God, that empire is actually, okay, your spirit, I'm calling it the empire, but your spirit is the spirit of God in you is the empire. What do empires do? They call the shots. For people who watch football, are they empire? Referees. I remember the story. So, and I think I was telling Christine yesterday and Dennis, I don't know if I've shared it here before. Many people, you guys know that I don't like football. Man, it just really bores me. But most especially, Arsenal, yeah? And maybe even that is, it could be even the only team I know. I know there's Man City, Liverpool. There are others that Sam told me about. Sam introduced me to something called La Liga. And the only reason I listened to it was it sounded cool, Spanish La Liga. I'm like, okay. So, one of those days, I think we had just gotten married. Like in our first year of marriage. By the way, Pastor, unbeknownst to you that I've ever supported Arsenal. So, but those were the days I remember we had Henri. Then we also had some kind of nice-looking boy there who was a bit, I forget his name, but he was like a nice-looking boy. Yeah? It wasn't Walcott. There was another one. But then I also know that there is another footballer who did a hair transplant. I was telling Sam, bineme to JBD. I don't know who, I think he was a Man U supporter. Yeah, that one. So I knew that time we've just gotten married. So I used to support Arsenal with Sam. I would go with him to watch matches. So one day there was a match and there was also a service at Watoto Church, Central. So opposite Watoto Church, then KPC, there was a place. It was called Open House. Now it's a casino. By that time, it was called Open House. It wasn't a bar, but it was, you know, those like open restaurants. So, after the service, we cross over because this was a deciding match. It was a deciding match, right? So, we were versing. I don't even remember what. Guys, please forgive me. I've been married 16 years. Some of these things become faint. But this thing I remember because it was for me. It marked the end of me supporting football. So we enter, we start watching. There were people there. It wasn't, like I said, it wasn't even a bar. So we watch. There was general camaraderie that you find in those places for football supporters. Just know, there will be, it just takes three Arsenal supporters for a place to have fire. Yeah? Even if the rest are Man City, just have three chaps supporting Arsenal. It will be like the entire place supports Arsenal. So now we start watching, we watch. Then, towards the end of the match, Henri scored a goal. You guys, we won that game, but this is what happened. We jumped up. Sam jumped up. I jumped up. Then, guess what? As I jumped up like this, some guy came. A tall guy. Simani. Like, tall and big. Tall and big, you know? And he what? Nangwata. And he swung me around. 360. It was so interesting because even up to now, I don't know. Because you'd expect if someone takubaze, maybe at the back, maybe they will hold you calm. You'd expect a guy maybe to carry me like this. And then he swings me around like this, all right? Then he swings me around. Thank you. So, but the guy didn't carry me like that. You guys were face to face. I was mid-air, Like this, I was looking right in the guy's face. The guy swung me, By the time he set me down, someone was like, Someone was like, guy, gwe. Even me, I was like, gwe. from that time. I don't know. Yet this guy, I wasn't talking to him during the match. He was just seated there. Yeah? He was just seated there. I wasn't talking, apart from, hello, oh yeah, then you know they are going to score, then they miss, then you all go like, oh. So I wasn't really talking to him. I had come with my lovely husband. Like, I don't know how. I don't even, up to today, it is a mystery, too deep for me to understand how I was face to face with a guy, I can't even tell you, I can't describe that to you in English. But he held me so hard. He swung me around, put me down. Thank God, soon after that, the match ended. I told Sam, Sidayo, I will never, ever support football, and especially Arsenal. So, when Pastor says wives, they should support their money, because, man, this Arsenal, a guy grabbed me like that. Eh? So, And in this, I think also, because there is a way in which God makes the body, that, like, as a protection mechanism, your body goes in shock. You don't know what to do. So I couldn't even beat the guy. Take a one. I was limp, in shock. In shock. My husband has never, that's the only man who has carried me, by the way, in my life. Because even for our wedding, these things of you carry your bride, eh? And by the way, I wasn't even as big as I am now. Maybe that is why I was that light. Now, I was small. So I was, when we were taking wedding pictures, then Sam was like, John, the things of carrying you, we shall look funny, yeah? But some people, it looks nice, yeah? So I'm not saying it's bad, but for me, I'd never been what? Carried. But this guy, Yayansi Tula, Mubukulu Bwange, Mubukulu Bwange, guy carried me in the presence of my husband. So, I don't even know how we ended up there. Referee, yes, the umpire. So, when you do not know what to do, let the word of God call the shots for you. Let the word of God be the referee for you. Hallelujah. There are many things that you get challenged by. Today, oh, by the way, Kalango, today we have marriage fellowship. It's going to be at the Mujimba's place. Please come and hear, you know, let us share at 3 p.m. So, there are many times during, in life, where you do not know what to do, husband and wife. You do not have a clear direction, like very distinct and clear direction with God saying, this is the way, walk here. And then you have conflicting opinions. Let the word of God be the referee. Hallelujah. You people who are married, let the word of God be caught on the side of the word of God, not you doing your own things that are not even in the word. Glory to God. Amen. So, Hebrews 4:12. For the word of God is living and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of the soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. This is what I've just been telling you. It is the one that discerns your intentions and your thoughts. Many times, and this I'll say for sure, that sometimes someone comes to you and they have an issue, and you actually don't know what they are going to do. You honestly, let me advise you, just tell them to do the word of God. Just tell them, if you do not know what they should do, and they ask for your advice, just point them to the word of God. Don't put in your own things, God told me this, God told me that. Just point them to what? To the word of God. Why? Because the word of God will help, will discern thoughts that you do not know. Sometimes people don't tell you the truth. Or if they tell you the truth you're told is the truth they know. But it may not be the actual facts. Yeah? So, the word of God actually will help us to discern the thoughts and the intents of our hearts when we have to make those difficult decisions. Glory to God. Amen. And remember, we are saying that it is a weapon of warfare. It is a weapon of warfare. God has promised you that promotion. God showed you that you're getting promoted. But how? But when your promotion is being challenged by the devil, what will you do? If you do not know the word of God, if you don't know the word of God, what will you? How will you wage warfare? So, let us look at what Jesus did. Okay, Matthew 4. You know that Jesus used the word of God when he was being tempted. And this reminds me of what Evangelist Patrick said, and I even said it here some time back, that when true doctrine is taught, it can cause deliverance. It can bring you deliverance out of poverty, out of any experience that you have that may not be good. But also, I'd like to add that when the proper word of God, when the word of God is studied, you yourself, you can actually come out of demonic oppression and any kind of bondage. I know of a lady who she was born in a polygamous family, and so the father, of course, you know, polygamous families, how they are, the intricate details they are in, the things are complicated, but so she ended up not being paid attention to even as a young girl. So she grew up having a very skewed image of herself. Her father rejected her because he had other things. So it affected what she thought of herself. It affected her self-image. And because of that, even her self-esteem, you could see that in the decisions she was making, even as she grew up, because she grew up with me, it's because she didn't actually really know who she was. She didn't know that she didn't know the love of her father. So anyone who would come and maybe offer her money, give her some attention, ngagenda noyo. Offer her money, give her attention, ngagenda noyo. Anyone who would even try in the very least to play the role of a father to her, ngagenda naye. So this girl by the way, fathers, love your daughters. Love your daughters. Love your daughters. Show them. Show them that this is how a man should love you. Model that at home with their mother, but also with they themselves. Love them. Spoil them with love, such that they don't fall prey to some of these things of the devil, to temptation. Give them money. Give your daughters money, you people. You fathers, don't be the, what? Give your daughter, mubawe sente. Ate, don't give them 2K. Yeah? Don't give them 2K, then you go and you eat 50K. If you can afford a cup of tea, of 12,000, what are you doing giving your daughter 2,000 shillings? When now a man comes and gives her 20K, what will you say for yourself? Guys, love your daughters. Love them. Love them. But also spoil us. Hallelujah, wives. Yes. Give us the money. So, give us the money. At even in the presence of what? Of your daughters. Don't just say, Nazita da o kameza. You bring the band and say, Joan, there. Let Mkwanzi see the father giving me money. So that I can say, you see, your father used to give me money. Yeah? So that if any day I start lying about her father, she will say, but I used to see him giving you money. Yazite kanga weza kameza. Glory to God. Amen. So anyway, back to this girl. So she grew up, you know, in that very skewed household. And then it affected her esteem. So anyone who comes and promises any good thing or something she felt she needed, ngagenda naye. But eventually, she gets born again. But that, it still stayed in her. That whole thing of, I am not valued, she was easily manipulated. She didn't know, she didn't have the experience of her father. And by the way, again, I'll digress. The standard of a good father is God. God is so good to us as a father. So I think we must really pray for fathers. Even at the end of the service. Abasajja, but fathers. Yeah? Andrew. Yeah. So, Bruce, who am I? you need prayers. So, she grew up and then she got married. Now, when she got married, she couldn't even tell because the father hadn't modeled to her who really a father should be or a man should be. So even her choice of husband had a few questions. And then she got married, yes, with the function was whatever, but eventually the marriage broke down. This marriage broke down after 4 children and after about 12 years. So when I told my mother about her, because my mother attended her introduction, my mother, the first thing she said, hey, tukamureba, tuamulaba oyo omukoye ya joyo, tuamulaba, as in for her, she could remember 12 years back that the muko had a problem. But you couldn't blame really the muko. It was because the girl, the bride, she didn't have an example of who a man should be, who a father should be, who a husband should be. So, anyway, this girl struggles through. But later, as she starts, you know, she had gone for deliverance sessions, so many of them. They had prayed for her marriage, done everything. But let me tell you, the day she said, bine bintu, nemutundwe yatukayo, those midnight, diabikole ebyo byonna. But then one day she told me, Joan, I found my identity when I read the Bible. And when I understood who I was, I realized the mistakes I made. And from that time, she tells me that she went through a deliverance that she, even to today, she simply cannot explain. Glory to God. Because she met God the Father in the Bible. Every time she would read about like the way God loves her. And then she would try to compare it with the men she had met before, and probably even her husband at that time, who was abusing her, beating her, doing all those things. She realized, this is not my identity. I'm a child of God. I have to be respected. I can't be beaten, you know? So she said that it is from knowing who she was through the eyes of the Bible that she got delivered. She started now seeing herself not as a doormat, and this is where your identity, even as a woman, should be. Not what the women activists tell us. Not what you see on Instagram. Soft life, what? Those things. Soft life, what? All those things. Those things are good if God gives them to you, but don't compromise to get them, eh? Because what you compromise to get, you will soon lose. So anyway, this lady got, the more she read the Bible, the more she studied the Word of God, those shackles of poor self-esteem, low self-esteem, started to break off. Glory to God. And now she is in a much better place. Now you cannot convince her. By the way, she can talk about the love of God because I think she met him eventually through the Word as a father. She met acceptance. She realized the price he paid that her earthly father couldn't pay for her. But that didn't come easy. It came through hours and hours of going into the Word. Glory to God. Now, you can read all books about self-image, how to improve your self-image, how to know who you are. And those things are not bad. But they should not replace the Word of God. Glory to God. Because there are some books you read and you're like, maybe this doctrine is even demonic. Huh? There are some of those books you read about self-help, what, who you are, your car, you don't need a man, you don't... Anyway, yeah, but let us be serious and we study the Word of God. Don't say we don't need them. We need the men. Glory to God. We need husbands. We need the men. If you're not married, you need your brother. You need your cousin brother. You need your uncle Kojo Mwetaga. Hallelujah. Yeah? So don't be there saying we don't need men, we don't do what we don't know. Just all right. So the reason I'm telling you that story is you need to go deep into the Word of God and study it for yourself. Don't go just in there to read and to just say, oh God, I put in my time, no ga no kule bivyo. If you are going to be a doer of the word, you must know the word that you're going to do. Hallelujah. You must know that word. You must know the word of God. Hallelujah. Timothy 3:16. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and instruction in righteousness. Please get me the NIV version. All scripture is given. You know, when you read the Bible, it gets boring. You need to develop the habit. And this is where now I'm just going to talk to you as my fellow brethren, not even as a pastor. When you want to develop a habit of reading the Bible, I've realized that you must attach it to something. You know, the devil doesn't want you to read the Bible. He doesn't want you anywhere near the Bible. He doesn't want, the moment you say, I'm going to take 30 minutes to read the Bible, there will be something else more interesting. There will be something that will distract you. So this is what I have learned about Bible study. When you want to develop a habit or consistency in Bible study or a discipline, attach it to something that you know you have to do for sure. Does that make sense? For example, you know, you wake up in the morning. We are creatures of habit. I read it somewhere and it made sense. You wake up in the morning, you lay your bed, brush your teeth, put on your clothes, go to work. All those are habits that have been developed over time. Some of them, we do them because there is muscle memory. You just wake up and you know, oh, you don't have to remember to brush your teeth. You just find yourself going for your toothbrush. Now, if you want to develop a habit of reading the Word of God, attach it to something that you know you must do. Don't say, this year, first quarter of the year has ended. My birthday has whatever. Now I'm you know, in this new age of 40, 35, whatever, I'll be reading the Bible. Like, if you do not commit yourself to something that is tangible, you will not even hold yourself accountable. So what I did for me was, I knew that without a doubt, the children wake up early in the morning. I have to get out of bed. So I get out of bed, and after they have gone, there is something I do. I must do at that time. So I attached Bible reading to it. I'm like, huh? That is the time I'm going to read the what? The Bible. So that as I am doing the other thing, the Bible is there reminding me, I am here, read me. I don't say any time of the day, because any time of the day, you have so many distractions. Glory to God. So attach it to something you know you must do. You know you must do on a daily. Glory to God. If you know that you drop children, that's a very good opportunity. You drop them, you must drop the children. Yeah? So before you go to work, especially for those that have 8-to-5 jobs, there is a window there. Say, after dropping the children, in these 30 minutes, let me study just one verse. And now life has become so easy that we have commentaries, we have Bible notes, everything is Google away. Yeah? Everything is, Google away. So you have all these things to help you study the Word of God. So attach your Bible study to something you know. If you really want to be consistent, attach it. We are creatures of habit. Ulaba na abana. They know that at this time, we have to eat food. After we have eaten food, we have to do this. Even we adults, we have to follow those things, especially if you are just starting out. Glory to God. Then another thing I've seen helpful to me is keeping a journal. Keeping a journal. But you guys, what you don't write, you will forget. You're all looking at me here. Very few are even taking notes. And that's all right. You guys are sharp. You're a student. You're namubimanyi. That is why I'm here to remind you. But let me talk to someone who easily forgets like me. If you don't write it down, you're going to forget it. Glory to God. Amen, Eleti. Find a place where you can write. It could be on your notes in the phone. Yeah? It could be in a book. Write it somewhere. Glory to God. It could be in your Bible. Some Bibles have whatever's at the back, right there. Or if you don't have right in the very verse itself what God has spoken to you. You know why? Because you guys, when you get dreams, you record them. Why do you record the dreams? Why do you write the dreams? Because you don't want to forget them. Okay? It is the same principle with the word of God. If you can write a whole dramatic dream you had, you're going to write one verse. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Books are written for us, you know, for us not to forget stuff. Books are written for that reason, for us not to forget things. Amen? So, please, get a journal and write a book somewhere, write your stuff somewhere, so that you can say, I came here, and on such and such a day, this is what I wrote. This is what God told me. Glory to God. And these things are done. Bible study guides are there for a reason. They are written for a reason, to guide you, to help you. Let us use these materials. Amen? Amen, guys? Yes, if you want instruction in righteousness, please, be mobiwandike, write something. A line or two, write them somewhere. At the end of the year, when you are reviewing, that is why when God was even asking some of us what lessons, people didn't even know, sir. They were like, I have to go back and ask God. But you were there, you were taught. You just forgot, you never wrote down anything. So when the year ends, gweteli choize. You're there and say, Nambi manye, I'll listen to audio Bible. But even audio Bible is not sustainable. It is good, but not sustainable. Glory to God. And this is for us parents also. Let us show our children these things. Let the children know that my parents read the Bible. They study the Bible. If you can, study with them. If you can't, show them that this is omwana bwakula. Akabechanda. I don't know what that means. Like, and they become wild. You'll be like, you child, what? I'm going to take you to Pastor Wandera. You need Pastor Moses to pray for you. What? But you never even modeled reading the Bible. You never modeled studying the Bible. You're just there, wake up in the morning, mommy, I am bored. Ah, okay. You go entertain them. Daddy, I am bored. You go entertain. But they have the Bible. Glory to God. They have Bibles even at their level. Model these things for them. Glory to God. The third thing is, it is spiritual food. The word of God is spiritual food. 1 Peter 2:2. 1 Peter 2:2, and then prepare Proverbs 4:20-22. As newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. I believe that this doesn't apply to every area of our lives. In some areas, you are a babe. In some areas, you are a grandfather. Wakula da. Eh? Gwegai wa mukama in some areas. But in others, he prefers other people. He says, when it comes to a tendo, you first keep quiet. I've heard you. I know your heart. But there is someone who has been waxing their heart in worship. And then God wants that one. But in the area where you feel you're a spiritual babe, desire the word of God. Glory to God. The Bible says, David said, may I see wondrous things in your word. You know, the word of God is, it's revelation. You know, it's revelation, and it's God speaking to you. When you read the Bible, when you open your word, and these are things I have to remind myself of, especially when I hit a plateau. Everything, you're just now, you're running on commitment. You're running on duty. Because you committed to reading the Bible, because you committed to finishing the year plan for the Bible. So now you're just running on duty, on commitment. That is what is fueling you. When I reach those times, things are tight and dry and I have to force myself. I'm like, no, God. I have to remind myself, you are speaking to me now. I have to tell myself those things. When I read the Bible, you are speaking to me now. And it's amazing when I approach God like that, the revelations I get. Hallelujah. It helps you understand some of these spiritual mysteries that you receive in dreams. Glory to God. Amen. So let us, if you want to grow, you don't want to be stunted. Please, in a particular area of your life, ngolaba, you're not making progress. Just go to the Word of God and start to read. Start to study that particular area that you need. Proverbs 4:20-22. My son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. For they are life to those who find them and health to their flesh. Leave it there. For they are life to those who find them. The word of God needs searching. And I'm trying to just make a case for that this morning. That we have to search the word of God for ourselves. We must search it for ourselves. You can only do so much for people, for us who are pastors, sisters, teachers. You can only do so much for what? For people. If they are not reading the word of God, they will not find that life. Amen? There are some questions we cannot answer. God is like, that one, I'm not going to give you a dream. I'm not going to give you about what. You have to find it in the word. It's there. It is written. You have to search it out. Glory to God. Amen. So let us know that it is a spiritual food. If whatever you feed yourself with, you feed yourself with rubbish, that is what you will bring out. That is what you will grow by. Rubbish. Ngabuli akuliliza, agamboyo, ebyo. That is fodder. That is dust. Byayo gera, webitio. Tetubitegera. So, what you feed yourself with is what you will grow by. Some people are full of knowledge, but it is all rubbish. It is all rubbish. Things that don't take them anywhere. Glory to God. Now that we are in the promised land, we have to continue growing. We have to continue knowing God. We have to continue studying this word. That all those things that God told us, we may actually... Oh, I've remembered the scripture about Timothy. Yes, Timothy 1:18. The prophet says, 1 Timothy 1:18. Where Timothy is told to wage a good warfare with the prophecies he was given. Are you there? People who are reading their Bible? My son, Timothy, my son, I give you this instruction in keeping with the prophecies once made about you, so that by following them, you may fight the good fight. Now, these prophecies could have been given to Timothy as from his spiritual father, Paul. Like the way I can come and it's prophecy that is uttered. But also it could be, for you and I, it could be, you can find a prophecy here in the word of God. You could actually find a prophecy in the word of God and you say, today I am going to walk by this word. One of the things when you enter the promised land, there is a word that God gave me. It is the equivalent of the prophetic word. And I was glad that God gave it to me through his word, because it was so, so personal. I don't know if I would have taken it if it had come from someone else, because that would mean that probably God would have to snitch on me. Yeah, God would have to tell that person. Then this person comes and says, yeah, Joanne, this and this. And you'd be like, ha, oh, no, I'm good, much, take it day. But God now, because I was reading the word of God, and bam, God made that word come alive to me. And God told me something. And I was like, oh, thank you, Lord, that I don't have to go. And, you know, someone says it in church. By the way, I was so happy. Tell ya, Lord, tell ya, kolachi. I'm like, this is just between God and I. Tell ya, Lord. I know people are good-hearted in LA. When they dream dreams, they will come sometimes and tell you. So, and then actually I remembered there's a dream someone had in this church. And then they called me and then they narrated that dream to me in third party. And I went along with it thinking, the person thought that I didn't know what they were trying to tell me. Or I didn't know where that, but I was like, I know, I've been in ministry for, I know. So anyway, up to now, the people who concocted that plan don't even know, but I know. And I hope that they can suspect now. So, I was like, God, I thank you that you don't have to what? You don't have to tell someone how Bob has dreamt. I tell you, know, sometimes God can send you the dream, and the dreamer knows what the dream is talking about. So what do you think? I don't know. You're like, this guy, or this person, or this lady. But so when I was studying the word of God, God spoke to me through, and this is where the Holy Spirit comes in. The Spirit and the Word have to align. It is the Holy Spirit who is our teacher, who gives us understanding of the Word of God. That is why the other Thursday, I asked people to pray that they will, that the Holy Spirit will open their understanding of the Word that they read, so that it is profitable. By the way, the Word which has been quickened to you is what will save you. I can come here and split mysteries and what. Now, yet if God hasn't quickened it to you in that moment, whether you're reading the Bible or someone is preaching, that word will not profit you. I can talk about all the giving. Pastor can come here and talk about all the giving. But your for him is coming from a place of revelation. Then for you, you're there. You listen. If you don't ask God to quicken you, to give you that revelation and like just stamp it on your heart, that word will not profit you. Glory to God. That is why when you're reading the Bible, ask God to quicken your understanding. Ask God to give you the word for that moment, rhema word, to quicken these things. Glory to God. And those are the things that will save you. Hallelujah. Amen. Lastly, I just want to end with a testimony which really changed my life. And I think I've shared it here before. Well, I don't know. But when we got married, we had Kwezi 2 years after we got married. Hallelujah. Amen. But before the 2 years, I had been told by doctors that I could not give birth. And also, in my lineage, there are people who have actually haven't had children. So, you go to this place, they tell you there are things on you we have to break. So I went, prayed, broke things, man. There's an auntie, literally, I prayed for, because I was like, that one, Teyazala, maybe Chechino, that's the thing that is, Echinondola, the thing that is coming after me. So I prayed all the deliverance prayers. And then you see in deliverance, they'll tell you, these are the signs that you have a spiritual problem. You have this. You guys, I was qualifying for all the things in deliverance. They told. So I prayed. And I'm not saying that it didn't help. Up to now, I do not know if those prayers helped. But this is what I know for sure helped me. After we had gone to the doctors, got the diagnosis, did several things that were not even working, I got tired and told God, you know what? I told God, no. I just need you to help me here. So now we had, after just 2 years, we had Kwezi. Then, when we had Kwezi, those problems presented themselves again. When now we wanted a second child. That is why between Kwezi and my daughter is a gap of, how many years? 4 years. So in the 4 years, Banange, God made mothers, God made women. We love children. We had gone everywhere, done everything the doctors were telling us, looked at diagnosis after diagnosis, yeah? I went back and I'm like, hey, but God, if I could have Kwezi, how come? So I went back to breaking, to what, to doing all the, then one day, I remember I was in the bank, and I came across materials about healing, and especially in the line of conception. Do you know, it was a book. I even ordered for it online. I got that book. I studied scripture by scripture, precept upon precept. And you know what I did? When my friends were there in the bank moving up and down looking for sales, I was like, for me, I'm looking for a child. I don't know about this bank. So I got my pen, got a book like this, and I started writing like every word in the book. So I have my own copy. Glory to God. I have my own copy of that book. I wrote the book. Yeah. I would write the things as I'm saying them, the words as I'm speaking the words, walking in faith, what. And then afterwards, I went to, after now, asking God to quicken me, because then that is when it was my first time to hear about things like Logos, Rhema, what, how, you know, the lady had her testimony, how she had been delivered. Wow, ah, man. It was such a sweet book to read. I'm like, no, let me go and pray. I took off 3 days. Went somewhere and told God, I'm leaving this place with a child. And I want a girl. So I got that book where I'd written my verses. I started reading them to God. God, you said, none shall miscarry. God, you said, hey. I started reading all those scriptures. And by the third day, I told God, I'm done. That month, I conceived my daughter. Glory to God. So, I had done all these things. I had seen all kinds of people. You guys, I had seen all kinds of people. Nabichi Gwesalaba, what wasn't I told? You have the doctor's diagnosis. Even you have a spiritual diagnosis. There you go to NRB. And you know, you people, you cannot underestimate the desire for a child in a woman. You cannot underestimate that, because I know what it is. So, and by the way, after that child, then you desire another one. It's like as if Bidi, yeah, the other things, like there is a way in which God just takes you and wipes away. And with this baby, you have all this joy, yeah? So, I had gotten so many, you know, I even went to some lady. And that's when I met that lady pastor, the one who stays, that pastor of who stays along Naguru. Yes, that lady. That lady, very sharp prophetic word. Because she tells you, chino. She sees 3-4 generations before you. She said, olabono, olabanono, baye mulimu abalongo. Then this one. Then that's when I found out Obama Baba, even one of, you know, like those very deep things where one of my grandparents sacrificed a child that time when they were building the road, sacrificed his child to those guys, the guys who were building. I think they were not to give him money. He said, Mwana uno, na mtuala, bah! Sacrificed him. And now this lady, Okmanyo Bunabi, she tells me that thing. I'm like, God, that one is so big. I was just stopping here, you know. But now, you go for deliverance, and I tell you all these things. And that day, I just went after getting into the word of God and studying these scriptures, I said, God, you broke this curse. There is nothing else I can do. This curse was broken off of me. I told God, God, you ordained my marriage. Children are a gift from you. Very simple scriptures. And I knew them. Remember, I had had Kwezi. I knew them. But for my second child, they were quickened afresh to me. So when I would say that there will be no miscarriage, there will be, you bless my water and my food. When I would say those things to God, I actually really felt them. I'm like, God, you broke the curse of barrenness. There is no any more breaking I'm going to do. You broke that curse. By the time I was done with the three days fast and prayer where I had gone, I knew without a doubt. And by the way, I didn't even have a dream about my two children. Like right now, I feel like I am more prophetic than then. Eh? I have more prophetic revelation. I have had more dreams, you know. But then there was nothing like that. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? For me to really grow in the prophetic, it was after I met after Zoe, I joined Zoe and met Pastor Moses, and then I joined a prophetic church. And this is where, you know, gifts are flamed, yeah, into fire. So, because I was part of intercessors for Uganda and all those things. But then for some reason, I always thought, abo beba lota, abo mukama ba kolachi ba labikira. And in a way, it drove me now to reading the Bible, to saying, kati nze sirota. Sirota sikolachi, let me just be in the Bible. Like at that point, it was my only hope. I told God, I've seen doctors. Cut now, I've come to you. Salabio salaf, you have to cut. Like those prayers at Prayer Mountain, you know. You hear some mukama kuba, mukama loga, mukama. So like mukama salabio salaf, there are things you have to cut from my body. If there are things which are wrong that were missed by the doctor, I said all sorts of prayers. But what really opened my eyes was the word of God. It was the word of God. So when I left, and the following that month, in fact, I told Sam, I'm done. I'm done with this looking for, you know, going up and down, and what it's been 4 years, frustration, money, what, you know? So I told Sam, I'm done. Sam was also like, I'm also done. And I just waxed myself in the word of God. And when I conceived Mkwanzi, I'm like, God, you are good. Glory to God. Teli ya mungamba samulota. I'd never had a dream about that child. You guys, when I then hear people dreaming about their children and having them, I'm like, man, you guys are so blessed. But I'd like to show you another world that you can actually be there. You don't have the dreams. But if you go in that word of God, you will get your own prophecy. You will get your own prophecy. And even if you have the dreams, you have dreamt, you have what? You find that you will have to fortify that word by this word of God. Oh, you know, kuongerako. Oh, you know, kuluana. What does the word of God tell you? Yes, you had the dream. Yes, you saw that child. Yes, you saw the money coming. But what else is God telling you in that word? Give. Sow your seed. Give liberally. Practice those things. Read them. Glory to God. Amen. So, I just want to encourage you guys. We are in the promised land. Sometimes the battle gets so fierce. In the event, God has already told you, in the event that you don't have any dream, and even if the dreams are there, get into the word of God and fortify your revelation. Fortify your revelation with what is written here. The Spirit of God, I pray that the Spirit of God quickens each one of you. Each one of you. The reason sometimes maybe why we are not seeing, like people are in their promised land, but for some reason, they feel challenged. They don't feel like they are there. Why? Because there is nothing here in the heart concerning the word of God. Yes, God, mukama ya chikulaga, but if you don't build on that, let me tell you, the day God shows you something, that will be the beginning of you reading the word. That will be the beginning of you now. You go into the word and say, okay, God, you told me I'm going to build Lubowa. Mm-hmm. What does prosperity now have to do with? You go back to prosperity scriptures. Meanwhile, but you go back to the prosperity scriptures and you say, God, this and this, you said in your word. You said in your word. Glory to God. Amen. So let us really take studying the word of God seriously. Make time for it, It is your weapon of warfare. It is your weapon of warfare. Jesus Christ used the word. When he was tempted, he said it is written. Jesus Christ, who is the word, also said it is written. For you, what is written? Praise. What is written for you? What is a scripture that God quickened to you? Vanessa, Judith, what is that you're standing on? Glory to God. Thank you so much for listening. Have a good Bible study.
Last Adam Tabernacle, Christ for the nations.